The wise person is called Brahma Karma Samadhi. One whose attention remains absorbed in the vision of the truth. Which means, this as a Grihastha Jnani, he is involved in all the activities as an individual, but intellectually, cognitively, he does not lose sight of the vision of the truth. It's like when you all take different ornaments, all Indian women will know, before going to the wedding alone, you go to the locker and bring all your ornaments. And then you will know, you will not forget where the bangle should go, where the chain should go. You will not try to put the bangle on your neck. Even carelessly also, very casually, easily, effortlessly, you'll put the bangle into your, hands, and you put a chain on your neck, you put the rings, where to put the studs, you know. Which means, this called transdivision, in transactions, the difference is there. The bangles has a different purpose, chain goes to a different place, ring goes to a different place. Isn't it? You don't forget. But still you know all of them are one and the same gold. Whether the chain is sitting on the neck, the bangle is in your hand, whether your ring is on your finger, you know they're all only gold. Cognitively, you have the vision of the one substance being gold. This is called what we say, kriya dvaitam sada kuriyat, bhava dvaitam na karhichit. Means, in transactions, there must be duality. This wise person may be performing the rituals, performing not only ritual, performing all his duties. He may be involved in all his activities. So involving oneself in all the activities need not make him lose vision of the truth. Involving himself in all the activities also, but he does not lose sight of the vision of the truth. In transactions, he must be doing everything. How you do not lose vision of, you do not lose sight of the gold, whether you wear the bangle, whether you wear the chain, or whether you wear the ring, how you do not lose sight of the gold. Similarly, this person, whether he is involved in whichever activity, he cannot lose sight of Brahman. Why? Because there is nothing which is not Brahman. And this person as a Vaidika Grihastha, as a householder Grihastha, as a Vaidika, in the Vaidika family, as a performer of regular rituals like Agnihotra, the rituals. And for him, what is not Brahman here? He is performing his Yajnaya Karma Acharati, performs as an offering. Everything at the feet of the altar means, for him there is no second thing other than Brahma. For him, Ishvara is Brahma, the Lord is Brahma, Jiva is Brahma, his own Swarupam is Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi for him. I am the truth. What is not Brahman here? That is why Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi. I can say Arpanam Brahma. The instrument of offering is Brahma. Brahma Havihi, the object of offering, isn't it? The oblation which is offered is Brahma. Brahma Havihi, Then Brahma, Agnihi Brahma, the fire into which the oblation is offered is Brahma. The one by whom the offering is done, isn't it, is Brahma. The offerer is Brahma. For him, the offerer, the act of offering, the oblation offered, the fire into which oblation is offered, the instrument of offering, everything is Brahma. Okay, there must be the result of, there's a fruit of the performance of this ritual. What is that fruit? The fruit of the performance of the specific ritual is the attainment of heaven. So, as a fruit of the performance of this ritual, what has to be finally attained, reached, is what? Gantavyam is what? That heaven. That heaven also is Brahma. Which means, the wise person need not go to heaven. Because heaven also is not outside of him. For a wise person, the heaven, the jagat, okay, everything is Brahma, nothing which is not Brahma. Is it clear? For the person who remains absorbed in the vision of the truth, who cannot lose sight of the truth, and for whom there is no second thing other than Brahma, there is no, all the T-series only non-dual secondless reality Brahma. There's no I, there's no Jagat, nothing. All that is here is only Brahma, or I can say, all that is here is the manifestation of Ishvara, which is Brahma. Isn't it? Such a person is free. So with this, the topic is over. Now we're entering into the new, from 25th verse onwards. From 25th verse onwards until 34th verse, Krishna is going to discuss some disciplines. And even those disciplines, why do you call them discipline? Because those disciplines, if followed, they will contribute for preparing your mind for jnanam. Even those disciplines also, if enforced discipline, any enforced discipline will be a burden. A discipline followed without being enforced, a discipline, the understanding of the value of the discipline followed becomes, no, a joy. It won't be a burden. And each discipline, here Krishna wants to say, each discipline becomes a form of worship. So following each discipline also becomes worship. We can convert not only this discipline, every action you do also can be converted into worship. Any action you do, every small action you do can become a discipline, can become worship. And any discipline you practice also can become worship. Yajnaha, if you practice the disciplines having purushartha nischayaha, that's the very important thing. When do these big disciplines become? Suppose you practice yogasanam. The yogasanam is just a physical exercise, which is an activity. It can help you keep your body trim, but still it does not have the status of being a yajna. It cannot be seen as a yajna if there is no purushartha nischaya. If you have purushartha nischaya, you are very clear, I am living this life ultimately to discover the happiness, fullness which is already there as my own sarupam. That is the ultimate purpose of human life. If that is very clear, ultimately that is what has to be achieved. And for the discovery, to discover the very truth of the whole as my own Swarupam, as myself, and I need to prepare my mind. And for preparing the mind, I am following these disciplines. If with the understanding, knowing the value of following disciplines, and knowing the value of preparation of the mind required for knowledge, if any discipline is followed, then that discipline becomes an offering to the Lord. Which means, when you live your life for accomplishing, as a Jigyasu Bhakta, as the one who is with an urge for knowledge, when you live this life, knowing the value of knowledge. See, for us to have the urge for jnanam, we should know the value of knowledge. And to have the knowledge of the value of knowledge also. No, we must be mature, we have some punyam. So knowing the value of knowledge, to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and to have the craving, urge for knowledge, yesterday I said obsession, not getting obsessed with Bhagavan. I want, no, that seriousness is there, then you, all that you do become what? All that you do become offered to Bhagavan. You have brought Ishvara in your life. So without involving Bhagavan, Ishvaraha, God in your life, there's no way of accomplishing the spiritual vision, the spiritual end. Accomplishment of the spiritual end, which is the absolute end in terms of moksha, in terms of self-knowledge or knowledge of the truth or the moksha, is possible only if you involve Bhagavan in your life. Which means everything you do it as an offering to Bhagavan. Then whatever you do becomes yajna. How to convert all that I do into yajna? How to convert all those, you need not do anything. It is the attitude. If Purusharth Nischaya is there, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is there, then you know the value of preparing your mind for knowledge. And knowing the value of following disciplines and values, etc., when you follow everything, then everything becomes what? You do it as an offering to Ishvara, it becomes yajna, it becomes worship. So Krishna here, presents some 12 value disciplines. And he calls each discipline a yajna. Each discipline is a yajna. Why? Because each discipline you can follow as an offering to Bhagavan. Okay. So here first he mentions, what are those yajna? What are those? I'll tell you. The first discipline of these 12 disciplines, not only 12 disciplines, there are more disciplines, but Krishna presence a few here as 12, and of all of them, the most exalted of all the disciplines, he says, Jnana Yajnaha. Jnanam itself is Yajna. Why? Because why Jnana Yajnaha is the most exalted of the Yajnas? Because all other disciplines practiced, all other actions performed, everything should ultimately, finally culminate in jnanam. Because all the disciplines practiced become validated. All accomplishments in life become validated only when you attain the knowledge of the truth as the very self. Even the truth is everywhere, truth is everything, all that is here is the truth, but the truth is available for recognition only as the self. Is it? So when the self-knowledge, Therefore, this attainment of knowledge of the self is the culmination of all practice of all the different disciplines. Everything gets validated only when you attain the jnanam. If there's without the self knowledge, everything else, all other accomplishments, all the disciplines become meaningless. What are you doing all these things for? Really, they become meaningless. All of them become really validated. Every small action you do becomes validated. Now, when everything culminates in jnanam, therefore, knowledge is said to be attainment of knowledge. Now, is said to be the most exalted of the yajnas, jnana yajnaha. Okay, first he'll talk about it, then he'll go to other yajnas. I'll just tell you here. The next is deva yajnaha. Deva yajnaha means worship of the Lord in the form of devatas. The natural phenomena through the invoking the grace of the natural phenomena called devatas through the offering of oblations to those devatas called deva yajna, worship of devatas is the second one. Even that worship is deva yajna. Then third, very beautiful thing here. Experience of the objects. Enjoyment of objects. Enjoyment or experience of objects of pleasures. Isn't it? Experience. That itself is said to be an yajna. Vishaya bhoga yajnaha. Experiencing a given object, you see this attitude, how you see, how to bring Ishvara in my life. When I experience something, I see that experience also as a yajna. I'm going to teach you, telling you this, all the yajnas, the list of yajnas which are going to be discussed here. As I teach, I'll explain to you. So, jnana yajna, deva yajna, vishaya bhoga yajna. Vishaya bhoga yajna means what? Enjoyment or experience of experience. See, every experience itself is considered worship. Considered as worship here. Which means, suppose through five different senses and you experience five different sense objects, a form, color, light, sound through the ears, smell through the nose, taste through the tongue and touch through the skin. And all these objects you experience. Now we are all experiencing light, bright light. And here this light is the object is the oblation. It is offered into the fire of sense power and reaches the devata, isn't it? Called the desa mind. And ultimately, who is offered to? Every time the object is offered, there rises knowledge. When the object is offered to consciousness, there is knowledge. Now, suppose light is, means what? Light is knowledge. That knowledge is what? It becomes knowledge, isn't it? Object becomes, the experience becomes, that the knowledge is, the object is offered to, who is the experiencer there? You are the experiencer. Experiencer is consciousness. You are the experiencer and you are, the experiencer is consciousness. Therefore, the object becomes offered to whom? The consciousness. Isn't it? When this object called light through the sense organ reaches the mind, then there comes what? There happens the jnanam, knowledge. light is his knowledge. Therefore, in each object also is what now? Becomes this experience, seeing the experience as an offering to Bhagavan. This is called, this is Vishya Bhoga Yajnaha, third one. Then fourth one. Now, the having, practicing the discipline called Damaha. Damaha itself is a yajna, Dama yajna. If Damaha is yajna, yajna means it's an act of offering, a form of worship, wherein we kindle the fire, offer oblations. But here, you see each discipline as an offering to the Lord. Therefore, each discipline is here said to be a yajna. So, the damaha is the practicing the discipline of having mastery over one's organs, sense organs, and organs of actions. It's called damaha. You know what is Dhamaha? We have already studied in Tattva Bodha and in Vedanta Sara also we recently discussed. So Dhamaha means it's a sensory discipline. And a sensory discipline, we really do not care if we simply practice also without the Purusharthan Nischaya. If you practice it simply, it is just an discipline, isn't it? If you practice it as an offering to Bhagavan, then it becomes a yajna. How to convert any practice of any discipline into yajna? Change the attitude. I practice this. Why? Because as an offering to Bhagavan. Attitude, isn't it? It is the attitude which converts your anything you do into yajna. Therefore, Dhamma Yajnaha, or you can say, Indriya Sanyama Yajnaha. Indriya Sanyama Yajnaha. The discipline of mastery, having mastery over sense organs, organs of actions, is called what? Itself is a yajna here. Indriya Sanyama Yajna. Then, Atma Sanyama Yajna. Atma Sanyama Yajna means the discipline of Shamaha. Shama Yajna. Dama Yajna, Sama Yajna. So, we already have heard these words from me as disciplines. Now you understand those disciplines as Yajna. How the Dhamaha is becomes yajna, you can convert the practice of Dhamma as yajna, you can convert the practice of the discipline of Shamaha as yajna. Then, sixth one, is Dravya Yajnaha. Dravya Yajnaha or Dana Yajnaha. See, the Dhanam, sharing, giving what we have. Now, what is possible within our limits itself is becomes a yajna. Dravyam or dhanam, you can say. It's a yajna. Then tapas, tapo yajna. Then practice of yoga as yajna. Yoga yajna. Eighth one is yoga yajna. Then ninth one, Swadhyaya Yajnaha. Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya Yajnaha. One of the disciplines. Swadhyaya is one of the disciplines. Okay. Jnana Yajnaha. Again comes Jnana Yajnaha. Okay, I'll explain the difference. The 11th, Pranayama Yajnaha. 12th, difficult discipline. Ahara Nayama Yajnaha. Food. Food discipline Yajnaha. See, we think very easy, isn't it? Simple disciplines. Some disciplines are easy for some people. Some are difficult for some people, isn't it? Ahara Nayama Yajnaha. We are the 12. So here, of it, I have mentioned Jnana Yajna twice. The first Jnana Yajna is Atma Jnana Yajna. Or Brahma Jnana Yajna. The attainment of the knowledge of the truth itself is Yajna. That is the first one. First Jnana Yajna. Paravidya Yajna. And the second Jnana Yajna is Aparavidya Yajna. There's two Jnana Yajnas. The most exalted, when I said, you can easily understand, the attainment of the knowledge of the truth. And attainment of knowledge of anything else in the world is what? Aparavidya. This Aparavidya Yajna or Paravidya Yajna. So you have these two words, no? Jnana Yajna used twice. Is it clear? Okay. So this 12. So actually we can include so many here, but just 12 Krishna mentions here. So all these can be divided into two categories. The first is Jnana Yajna is the ultimate, and the rest of the yajnas, all other yajnas, apart from the first one, all other yajnas come under the category of karma yajna or tapo, you can say karma yajna. Is it clear? Or Krishna uses two words. You can call them dravya yajna or karma yajna. Jnana Yajna, Karma Yajna. All the disciplines come under what? The category of Karma Yajna. So 12, you divide the 12 into two, as one as Jnana Yajna, the rest of them are Karma Yajna. Karma Yajna, or you can say Dravya Yajna. Two words are okay. So with this understanding, let us see this verse now. This, if you remember, the headings, when I tell you, when you read hereafter, you can remember, okay, from here what comes. All the disciplines, no? Some 12 disciplines Krishna presents as yajna in this verse number 25 to 34. Okay. Daivameva pare yajnam.
Daivameva pare yajnam.
Yoginav pariyupasate.
Yoginam pariyupasate.
Brahmagnava pare yajnam.
Brahmagnava pare yajnam.
Yajnenaivopajuhvati.
Yajnenaivopajuhvati.
In the 25th verse, you go to the second line first. Brahmagnava pare yajnam.
Brahmagnava pare yajnam.
Yajnenaivopajuhvati.
Yajnenaivopajuhvati.
So here, self-knowledge, which is otherwise called knowledge of Brahman, is also seen as an yajna, as an offering. Here, what is this offering here? Where is it offered? What is being offered? To whom is offered? Okay? Whom is this oblation offered? What is the oblation offered in this Jnana Yajna? What is the fire in this Jnana Yajna? And who is the offerer of this Jnana Yajna? This Jnana Yajna. And who is the one who is offered to here? Who is the one to whom this offering is offered to? Is it clear now? See, Yajna involves four factors. What are they? The offerer of the oblations. Then the act of offering. The act of offering involves the offerer of the oblations, the oblation, the fire, and the devata, to whom the oblation is offered to. Offerer, oblation, fire, through which the oblation is offered, and devata, to whom the oblation is offered to. So every yajna you have to see here. When you see every devata, every discipline as a yajna, in every yajna you should connect to, no? Who is the offerer, what is offered, and who is the one who is offered to. Devata represents whom, the Agni represents what. You have to see that. Is it clear? Okay. First in Jnana Yajna, Brahman, the consciousness, is the fire. In Jnana Yajna, the fire into which the oblation is offered is Brahman, the consciousness. Brahma Agnihi, absolute reality, the truth of the whole, the consciousness implied by the term Brahman is the fire. This don't go and search for fire here, okay? It's an understanding. You can even how to see the self-knowledge as a yajna, as an offering. See, consciousness is the fire. In Jnana Yajna, consciousness, Brahman, the consciousness, is the fire. Into the Brahman, the fire of consciousness, what is the oblation offered? Ahankaraha. Listen now. The offerer. Ahankaraha. The I sense is the oblation. Adi Atma is the oblation. One's own self is the oblation. Okay, who is the offerer? Who offers the essence? Essence is the oblation. Who is the one who is offering the oblation here? So, I offer myself into the Brahman. I offer myself into Brahman means what now? I am the offerer. I am the object of offering, and into the fire of Brahman, the consciousness. That is why we see Brahma Agnau Yajnam. Yajna means the performer of the ritual. Atma. I. And who? Yajnena. The offerer offers himself into the fire of Brahman. This is the Jnana Yajna. So, Upajuhvati means offers. Opna. The offerer himself, Yajnena. Yajnena means the performer himself offers, the very performer. Offerer, the performer, offers himself into the fire of Brahman. Tannai tane irevanukku koduthal dan jnana yajnaha. Irevan parambarul ennum neruppil naan enbadai naane podudal jnana yajnam. Okay, the offerer offering the essence into the fire of consciousness is called Jnana Yajna. It is not physical offering. You cannot drag the essence from yourself and put it into the fire there in front of you. What does it mean? It is through Shravanam, Mananam, systematic study with all commitment for length of time, you know, studying, understanding, then again think, reflecting on what you have heard and having resolved the doubts you had, again constantly contemplating upon the fact you have understood, you finally, you have clear doubt-free vision. There is no real I at all. I is only what? No? Is I is also the name. The Jagat is also another name. Like wave is only a name. Ocean is a name. Really speaking, the substance is, there's no substance called I. There is no substance for the word I. Understand now, actually speaking, only consciousness. Wave is water. This understanding, like that, I am consciousness. This knowledge of one Swarupam being consciousness is Jnanam, isn't it? It's called Jnanam. And this is a Yajna. And in this Yajna, so this I sense becomes offered into the fire of consciousness. Whenever something is offered into the fire, what is offered into the fire becomes what? Becomes ashes, which is not there anymore. Then fire alone is. Which means fire has consumed what is offered. The oblation offered into the fire becomes consumed by the fire. Which means the what is the oblation remains inseparable from fire. Becomes one with the fire. Is it clear? That is the main idea here. So here in this jnana, in the jnanam, the attainment of self-knowledge also, if it is seen as a yajna, if you see it as an offering to Bhagavan, then you see the fire is the fire of consciousness. Now, into the fire of consciousness, the essence is offered. Who can come and drag your essence and put it into the fire of consciousness? It is purely cognitive, isn't it? One having understanding of one's own Swarupam, real nature being consciousness. Understand? One having an understanding of one's own Swarupam being consciousness is what now? Cognitive offering of the essence into the fire of consciousness. When the essence is offered into the ahankara, is offered into the fire of consciousness, there's no more aham, there's only consciousness. It is like offering the wave into the water. See, water, imagine, wave offers itself into the fire of water means what? The wave Namarupa is offered into the water, fire of water. Means there's no more wave, there's only water. Similarly here, this Atma Jnanam, what is the fire? Brahman, the consciousness. What is offered? One's own self, I, Ahankara. Who is the offerer? Not anybody else. I myself am the offerer. I offer my own self. I offer myself into Brahman means it's recognizing my Swarupam being Brahman. Is it clear? So one yajnam, yajnena, Brahma agnau upajuhvati. Yajnena means by oneself. The performer himself, offering his own self into the fire of consciousness is called Jnana Yajna. Jnanam, The jnanam is yajnaha. Is it clear or not?
Yes.
Hmm? No. Here we don't say devata. Here you understand this much. Is it clear now? You offered, that's all, finished.
This day, last.
That's why this is the first time we start with this yajna. No. See, what to say, involve all these things, but here we understand this much. There's, you resolve everything there. See, when the offerer is offered into the fire of offering the offerer is, what now? If the offerer is offered into the fire, then the act of offering comes to an end, finished. Therefore, there's no, you need not talk about anything else there. Is it clear or not? Because it's only one very special, special yajna.
So is it a thing that you do to get reached that point?
It is not, please understand. You have to remember very carefully. Hope you understand this. We are not talking about the performance of fire rituals here. I told you already, all the disciplines required for jnanam are discussed here. And be careful, okay? This each discipline is looked upon as a yajna. Each discipline becomes a yajna. Hope you're all here. Understand here. Each discipline becomes a yajna if you involve Ishvara, Bhagavan here. So you talk in all these yajnas, what is the culmination is jnanam. The practice of all the disciplines should culminate in the attainment of jnanam. After attaining the jnanam, you don't need anything. All the practice of all these disciplines, why should they be practiced? For preparing our mind for jnanam. And what you attain jnanam is the culmination. So that jnanam itself is jnanam also is included here as one of the yajnas. It is not a fire ritual. See, yajnaha means a spiritual discipline, a form of worship. Understand? Yajnaha means a form of worship, which is a spiritual discipline. So jnanam is the ultimate, isn't it? The attainment of knowledge is the final thing you need for jnanam, moksha. Moksha is the ultimate goal. And for which, what is that you need? Finally, what you want is jnanam. Because jnanam itself is moksha. And if you look at that jnanam, attainment of jnanam as a yajna, what can be the fire? Consciousness is the fire. What is consciousness implied by the term Brahman? So you know here, who is the offerer here? You are the offerer. The individual, the offerer, offering himself. The performer of the ritual here is yourself. The offerer offering himself is what now? Is the culmination of, the conclusion of the yajna. There cannot be a performance of ritual anymore. As long as I don't offer myself to Bhagavan, I keep on offering coconut and banana and then laddus and jalebis and for all those things I offer. I offer so many things to Bhagavan. And when I offer anything and everything other than myself, you know, I'm still the offerer. I can offer something more, something more, something more. Then Bhagavan is still different from me. I am different from Bhagavan. When I offer myself to Bhagavan, then offerer himself is offered means the act of offering should come to an end. Purnahuti. Is it clear? And the offerer offers himself means, what does it mean here? It's not physical offering, isn't it? Offering oneself to Bhagavan is equal to offering one's resolving one's I sense, resolving one's individuality in totality. Resolving one's individuality in totality is the offerer offering himself or herself to Bhagavan. Resolving one's individuality in totality means resolving one's identity with Paramatma. Resolving one's identity with Paramatma means shifting one's essence from body, mind, sense complex, and resolving the essence in Paramatma, the consciousness. Here, shifting and offering means what? Resolving. Shifting and resolving are all purely cognitive. Is it clear? Intellectual. You're not physically doing anything. You understand I, the self, am not the body, mind, sense complex. I, the self, am consciousness. The understanding, I, the self, am consciousness, Brahma. This, it's like understanding the wave, it's like the wave having an understanding. I, the wave, am water, the H2O. Is it clear? The same is. It's a cognitive. So cognitive resolution of ahankara in consciousness as the truth of ahankara, I sense, is said to be what? Offering, the offerer being offered into the fire of consciousness. Is it clear? This is the jnana yajna, which is said in the second line. Is it clear or not now? Don't search for any fire around here. There's no fire, there's no real act, physical act of offering. It's all understanding how to convert every discipline into ayajna. You bring in Ishvara there, everything you do becomes a yajna. Everything you do becomes an offering there. Hope you understood it now. Okay. So Brahma Agnau Yajnena Eva Yajnam Upajuhvati. Then if you want the meaning, I can tell you. Yajnena, you can say Atmana. Yajnam Atmanam Brahma Agnau Upajuhvati. For those who want Sanskrit sentence, I can make it very clear. Yajnena is equal to Atmana. Yajnam is equal to Atmanam. Then you can say Atmanam Atmana Brahma Agnau Upajuhvati. This is a sentence. Atmanam Atmana Brahma Agnau Upajuhvati. The offerer offers himself into his own self into the fire of consciousness, which implies one resolving one's I sense in consciousness as the substance of the substantive I. Is it clear now? Next is Daiva meva pare yajnam.
Daiva meva pare yajnam.
Yoginah pariyupasate.
Yoginah pariyupasate.
The second line. Apare means some people practice this, no? They perform rituals. It's a proper fire ritual. So in this the people who, this is performing a fire ritual also. Performance of any karma is also discipline, isn't it? So performing fire ritual is also discipline here. And this discipline of performing a fire ritual, every day getting up in the morning, performing a fire ritual also, every day lighting the lamp is a discipline, you know that? Every small thing you do, every day, regularly, properly, doing it correctly is a discipline. It disciplines you, really. One day you're doing, one day, not like that. So regularly doing something becomes a discipline. So here, so those days performance of ritual, fire ritual, Nitya Agni Hotman, every day they used to perform. So the performance of ritual is a form of worship in Vedic times. So that therefore the performance of fire ritual, performance of the fire ritual is a discipline. And that discipline also, if you perform for, perform with an attitude, what attitude? I perform this, O Lord, may I be blessed with pure and steady mind. May I be blessed with the preparation required for knowledge. May I be blessed with the knowledge. Now, with this prayer, and for mental purity, I am doing, performing this ritual. With this understanding, when you perform the ritual, that ritual also becomes an offering to Bhagavan. The very performance of ritual becomes an offering to Bhagavan. Is it clear? So here he says, Yoginaha Paryupasate. Yoginaha means the people who are given to the practice of performing rituals. Yoginaha Paryupasate. Paryupasate means they perform. So the people who are given to the performance of rituals perform yajnam, the fire ritual. And there they offer oblations into the fire, thereby invoke the devatas. Is it clear here? They invoke the devatas. So this performance of ritual also is what? Is not a simple ritual. Simple ritual. If suppose this attitude is not there, without the purushartha nischaya, without the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, we simply expecting some result alone, you know, as a result alone by performing this ritual. If you simply perform the karma, it's a simple karma. It is not worship. Is it clear? So with an attitude, proper attitude, I perform this ritual as an offering to Bhagavan. Even though I expect the result of this karma, actually what I pray for is mental purity and mental steadiness required for jnanam. With understanding, when you perform this ritual, this performance of ritual also becomes yajna. The yajna becomes yajna. The jnanam becomes yajna. Here worship becomes an offering to Bhagavan. So you can convert the worship into a simple action without having purushartha nischaya. You can convert any action into worship with the purushartha nischaya. Is it clear now?
Yes.
Therefore, next one is Deva Yajna. Suppose I can say, if you every day have a habit of going to the temple, I'm not saying you should go or should not go. If you have time, temple is nearby, well and good, please go and come. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just saying, if you have the habit of going to the temple, even that act of going to the temple, you know, and going, coming around, doing a prarthanam of the temple, and seeing the arati, and reciting the mantras, etc., or chanting shlokas, all that you do is a form of worship, isn't it? And that worship, act of worship, involving going to the temple, doing the pradakshanam and getting prasadam and seeing the arati, reciting shlokas, mantras, or you know, you do tiruvachanam, etc., whatever you do, all that becomes together one action, involving many units of actions together, the act of worship becomes a yajna, an offering to Bhagavan. If you have purushartha nischayaha, if your commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge, if you are very clear, I am living this life for jnanam, definitely I am living this life for jnanam. All these days, whether I knew or I did not know, doesn't matter. At least from here on, this time onwards, I know very well, I am living this life for moksha. If I am living this life for jnanam, therefore I'm doing whatever I need to do to live my life. I live my life to prepare my mind for jnanam. I do all these things I need to do. Even the worship becomes an offering. Otherwise, worship also can become a simple one-off your workaholic be one of your activities. Worship, the act of worship can become one of your activities, binding activities. Understand? Now worship also becomes an offering, worship. Only if you have the proper attitude. Is it clear? So antahkarna shuddhihi antahkarna naischalyam, that must be the end. Should know very, very clearly what am I practicing these disciplines for? For mental purity, for mental steadiness, for mental preparation. Why do I need mental preparation? For jnanam. Why do I need jnanam? For moksha. Why do I want moksha? Don't ask, okay? You know this very well. With this understanding, when you do this, then this becomes a discipline, becomes a yajna. Okay. I think I made it very clear. I have spent a lot of time on this, isn't it? Okay, next.
Shrotradinindriyanyanye. Sanyamagnishu juhvati. Shabdadin vishayananye. Indriyagnishu juhvati.
See, shrotradini indriyani anye sanyama agnishu juhvati. Shabdadin vishayan anye indriya agnishu juhvati. See, the shabdadin vishayan anye indriya agnishu juhvati. See, sense powers are there. Each sense power, indriyam, each sense power is like the fire. And every object, external object, is like an oblation. The form, color, light are like the oblations. Your sense seeing power is the fire. Hearing power is the fire. The sound is the oblation. The power of smelling is the fire. Smell is the oblation. The power of taste is the fire. The object taste is the oblation. The power of touch is like the fire. The heat and cold is the objects are like the oblations. Is it clear now? So here, which means the oblations called objects are offered into the fire of sense organs. This is what perception. Understand? The perception of objects. Simply you perceive objects. For a person who has involved Ishvara, who has brought Ishvara into his life, all the time, no? All the time, if you remember, you are living this life for discovering moksha in terms of self-knowledge, in terms of discovery of the self, then the purpose is very clear, and for which you want to prepare your mind for that jnana means, even the perception, your perception becomes what now? An offering. The experience of the objects, the perception of objects becomes an offering, a yajnaha. For whom? The one who has purushartha nischaya, the one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, the one who always has Ishvara in his life. Even the perception of external objects, the experience of external objects becomes a yajna. Becomes a yajna means becomes an offering to the Lord. Hope I made it very clear. You see, this what is perception? The sense powers come in contact with the sense objects. And you see that this perception of external objects, the experience of external objects, is also becomes an yajna. The person who has brought Ishvara in his life. Is it clear now? This is the second end. First he says, Shrotradini Indriyani Anye Sanyama Agnishu Juhvati. The first line talks about the fourth which I said in my list, Indriya Sanyama Yajnaha or Damaha. The discipline of Damaha is mentioned in the first line of this 26th verse. Shrotradini Indriyani. Shrotra adini indriyani means what? Sense power, organs such as seeing, no? Indriya, seeing power, hearing power, all the 10 powers you can think of. Five karma indriyani, five jnana indriyani, you can think of all of them. But here, shrotra adini indriyani, five sense powers alone. Look at this. Shrotra adini indriyani anye sayama agnishu juhvati. Shrotra means hearing power. Indriyam, Shrotra Indriya means hearing power. Adi Shabda stands for all the powers. So all these 10 powers also can include. Okay, all the five sense powers, five powers of organs of actions, you can say all of them. Sanyama Agnishu Juhvati. Sanyamaha means here mastery. The discipline of having the discipline of mastery over all these 10 sense organs of actions is called Damaha. Is it clear now? Damaha. So Damaha, the discipline, that Sanyamaha means mastery, that is the fire here. Into the fire of this discipline called Yamaha, Damaha, all these 10 powers are offered, which means what? What does it mean here? Even the practice of Damaha becomes an offering to Bhagavan, Yajna. Sanyamaha is the Agnihi. The fire here is Sanyamaha. Literally it means control. So, all these 10 powers are offered, oblations offered into the fire of discontrol. Control means what? Mastery. So, what you need to understand here is, in these two lines, what you understand, even the perception of objects, or experience of external objects, no? Is looked upon as a yajna, becomes an offering to Bhagavan. The practice of discipline, no, in terms of Damaha, for having mastery over this, all these 10 powers, is also what now? Is an offering to Bhagavan, becomes a yajna. Is it clear or not? All the Sanskrit words are struggling to understand. Okay, that is why you have to study Sanskrit. We'll start soon anyway. Sarvanindriya karmani I did not go into the details because Shamaha, Damaha, etc. I have explained very clearly in detail in Tattva Bodha class, also in Vedanta Sarha class. I don't need to explain to you what is the discipline of Damaha. Go back home and take your old notes if you have written. Mm-hmm. Again, go back to our thing and then listen to that, re-listen to this, those talks, okay? Therefore, this discipline of the, practicing the discipline of Dhammaha itself is an offering a yajnaha to Bhagavan. It is not just an exercise, it is a discipline, it is a yajna now, an offering. So the first line talks about the Dhammaha, the second one talks about the perception or experience as an offering. Sarvani indriya karmani.
Sarvani indriya karmani.
Prana karmani chapare.
Prana karmani chapare.
Atma sanyama yoga agno.
Atma sanyama yoga agno.
Juhvati jnana deepite.
Juhvati jnana deepite.
Which means, in practice of each discipline as an offering, what it implies is, the indisciplined sense organs become disciplined sense organs. The disciplined sense organs are contributive and supportive of self-knowledge. You know, whereas indisciplined sense organs will be distractive and disturbance, okay, an obstruction for self-knowledge. We're converting the non-cooperative, unfriendly sense organs into the supportive, conducive sense organs is the discipline. You have that practice, isn't it? So how to practice, don't ask me now, that you have to learn from Tattvabodha class. Now here next is Sarvani Indriya Karmani. This 27th verse talks about the discipline of Shamaha. Shamaha is mastery over mind, thinking, mastery over ways of thinking. If Shamaha, if you don't have mastery over thinking, mastery over your ways of thinking, mastery over your mind, then the other 10 powers cannot be managed. Understand? The mastery over sense organs, mastery over organs of actions is possible only if you have mastery over mind. So this practice of the discipline of Shamaha is also an offering, becomes a yajna, an offering, for which then he says, Sarvani Indriya Karmani. The word Indriya Karmani means Jnana Indriyani, 5 sense organs. Prana Karmani means organs of actions, Karmendriyani. I repeat again. Indriya Karmani means Jnanendriyani. Prana Karmani means Karmendriyani. Because the words are very confusing here for you, isn't it? The word karma, always you think of action. Here Jnanendriyani, Karmendriyani. I repeat again, Indriya Karmani is equal to Jnanendriyani. Prana Karmani is equal to Karmendriyani. So 5 power, sense powers and 5 powers of organs of actions, totally 10 of them. Pancha Karmendriyani, Pancha Jnanendriyani, all of them, you know, become the oblations and they are offered into all the functions. Sarvani Indriya Karmani, Prana Karmani. So Karmendri, all of them become offered into the fire of the discipline called Shamaha. Which Atma Sanyama Yoga Agnav Jnana Deepite Juhvati. So mastery over mind, this Shamaha, you can practice Shamaha only if you have understanding. So without the understanding, it is not possible for one to practice the discipline of Shamaha. For Jnanadipite means, Jnanadipite, so in the understanding, that knowing the importance and the value of practicing the discipline called Shamaha, when you practice Shamaha, then that Shamaha becomes, the discipline also becomes an offering to Bhagavan. It is a yajnaha. The next.
Davya yajnas tapo yajnaha. Yoga yajnas tathapare.
Yoga yajnas tathapare.
See, by hearing all these words, don't get confused. He only mentions the disciplines which you have already learned. Here, what Krishna wants to say is, each discipline is meaningful and useful only if you practice it, if it culminates in jnanam, isn't it? If without having commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, without knowing the value of knowledge, without having moksha as the ultimate end, simply practicing disciplines, what is the purpose? Isn't it? Therefore, which means you have brought in Ishvara here. You have brought in Ishvara. When you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, you have brought in Ishvara. Once Ishvara has brought in your life, means every discipline you practice becomes an offering to Bhagavan. That's all he wants to say. Is it clear? Don't need to be confused. So, Damaha is offering, Shamaha is also offering. Now, in this, Dravya Yajna Stapo Yajna. Yoga yajnas tatha pare.
Yoga yajnas tatha pare.
Swadhyaya jnana yajnas cha.
Swadhyaya jnana yajnas cha.
Yataya samshita vrata.
Yataya samshita vrata.
Okay. Now he says, dravya yajnaha. Very simple. He has not talk now in detail. He dravya yajnaha. Dravyam means here anything given in any form. Okay, danam, giving, sharing anything you possess, anything you have, isn't it? To the best, to your capacity is also becomes a yajna, an offering to Bhagavan, if there is purushartha nischaya. Dravya yajna. Suppose you give something, you give money. What you give as dhanam can be money, need not be only money, or sometimes you do vastra dhanam, bhudhanam, godhanam, or something, you shamadhanam also. Sometimes you go and give some 2-3 hours of time to clean the temple or to clean something or to go. Some people go to the charities, to go to the mental health schools and all. They go and give some time, free time. So shamadhanam, kala, time dhanam also. You give time. Is it? Time. Some people come and tell you something. You don't get tired. I don't have no time at all. So come and take all my time with all patience. Even they don't want to listen to stories, but still sometimes you give time to listen to some people who really want somebody to listen to what they have to say. Nobody is there to listen to anybody, isn't it, nowadays? So that's also what Dravya Yajna. But that, not simply going and joining the other person gossiping, no. Isn't it? Without talking anything useless, talking back anything useless, and just but listen to other person, with the intention of helping other person to get over some inner pressure. When you listen, you give your precious time. That also you don't give it. I'm giving it to you because not like that. As an offering to Bhagavan. Otherwise, it is simply waste of your time. You give your time as an offering to Bhagavan, then it is a yajna. If you simply give your time, it is a waste of time. So that's why even if you sneeze, your sneezing becomes yajna. When an offering, if you have an attitude, the attitude converts every small action you do into a yajna, worship. See, already we have studied what is karma yoga, isn't it? So here, how to, see, because Ishvara means everything I do is an offering to Bhagavan. Not you're going and giving to Bhagavan here, who's sitting in front of you to receive everything what you give. Just the attitude. See, having an attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan implies you are being clear about your end being moksha. You are being committed to the pursuit of knowledge with the knowledge of the value of knowledge. I repeat it. You may feel bored and tired of listening to me, but that is what makes this into yajna, converts this into yajna. Is it clear? Therefore, dravya yajnaha means sharing, giving anything that one has to the people who need. Not giving something to people who will take it from you and give it away to somebody else. Or throw it away or then put in the bin or something. Okay? But always, dhanam also what? Giving something useful to the people who are needy. That also, how do you give? I am giving, not with an attitude. As an offering to Bhagavan, then the dhanam becomes yajna. Dravya yajna. Then tapo yajna. There are some people for whom tapas is an act offering. Tapas becomes the yajna. Tapas, here is, tapas again with conviction, practicing some discipline itself becomes what? Tapas. Sometimes people follow, you know, some vratams, you know. For example, upavasaha. I'm going to fast on all these days, certain days. The tapas means willful, you know, self-denial. Suppose I've been, or every day I eat 3 times, at least once in fortnight, an ekadashi day, I eat only once, or I will fast, or I will eat little. This is small, isn't it? One day let me do it without that. So trying to follow self-enforced, isn't it? Follow certain things. So certain vratams, etc. It's not that important thing. It is not the only discipline. It's also some sort of, you know, learning to be without certain things, which I'm used to. Not that every day you should fast, starve. So simply starving or dieting for your good looks is not yajna. And what I'm saying, whatever you do it now knowing the value of what you are doing, why you are doing, but that also when you do it as an offering to Bhagavan, then it becomes a yajna. Again, upavasaha itself means simply, not simply starving. Upavasaha means living near. Upavasati. Upavasaha means living near. So placing the mind near Bhagavan is called upavasaha. Which means by giving up, by saving my time, I regularly spend for certain other things. So I don't avoid doing other things. So I save my time, you know, by avoiding all the other things, regularly what I'm doing. I spend all my time for thinking of Bhagavan. So I do japam. I do some parayanam. Now, this is the upavasa means you have to be doing something which will keep your mind near Bhagavan. Help you think of Bhagavan. Help you remain with Bhagavan. It is upavasa. So here, such, not only upavasaha, so certain, you know, few more, lots of small things we do for like vrittam. I know I want to go walking to the temple. Sometimes people walk to Sabarimala without chappal and all that. Certain things they want to follow. Some sort of, you know, willful self-denial of things. They are not, somebody else has not come and tell you, come on, don't do it, don't wear it. No. I myself, knowing, let me try to be without these things at least for a day. That does not mean foolishly let me walk all the time without chappal. Not that day. You know, what it means is, what you are used to. One day let me not sleep on my cot, let me sleep on a mat. Not in this country, sometimes not possible for you, because it's very cold here. What I'm saying, certain some disciplines like that. Trying to avoid some comforts which you are used to. Not every day, sometimes. Is it clear? It's called tapaha also, that's also. Tapaha, that itself becomes an offering. Tapo yajna. Then yoga yajna. The yoga yajna here is, yoga is ashtanga yoga of Patanjali Rishihi. The practice of eightfold limbs. Don't ask me, my God, we are not following all those eightfold limbs. Then is it possible for us to be prepared for jnanam or not? It is not compulsory. It is not, all the disciplines are not compulsory for all the people. Please understand that. There's so many disciplines. You can choose what is practical and possible for you and practice those disciplines. There are certain things you have no choice, you have to. You know, suppose eating, drinking, there you can't ask. It's a common, isn't it? But what I'm saying, certain disciplines, for example, I want to perform rituals regularly. Performance of ritual involves expenditure. Suppose if you don't have enough money, how will you have to give dakshina to the priest, you have to buy a lot of things, so you can't, don't go for practicing the discipline. People, somebody else is doing, I don't have money, don't compare, don't worry. You don't need to do what is not practical for you. So what is easy discipline for you? Japaha. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. To take one mantra and to practice the japam, what money do you need? You need your attention, and you need your time. Finished. You can do japaha. See, all these disciplines are there. So what, which discipline is possible, you can do. Let me, you know, suppose sometimes even people go for walking. You know. Suppose Padmini Ammanal, she tapas now. They're going to Kailash, and there she should walk, for which every day they're practicing walking here, isn't it? So this, it's all, which means, this also becomes a yajna if there is an act, no? The attitude is there. Not mere exercise. It's yajna. And here also ashtanga yoga means not all of them. Yes, so ashtanga yoga, practice eightfold limbs of yoga. It's all disciplining the mind. It's a beautiful system. The techniques for disciplining your mind. Only for mental discipline. All is very good. Even yoga asanas, yoga asanam is for physical fitness. And then pranayama is physical discipline. You know, because discipline, then pranayama is for, you know, your breath discipline. And you have dhyanam for mental discipline. So to have the integration of the body, mind and pranas, you have these threefold disciplines. All these eightfold limbs of yoga help you to discipline your body, mind and pranas. Because very important for all of them to be integrated, to be disciplined for really accomplishing the spiritual wisdom. The mind has to become disciplined for spiritual knowledge. For mental discipline, there must be what now? Harmony. Body must be fit, body, no? Then the body also must be disciplined, the prana must be disciplined, mind must be disciplined, and all of them are in, no, the synthesis. All of them are in really there's a harmony, the integrated, then the jnanam is possible. Therefore, here the Ashtanga Yoga, Patanjali is also becomes a practice of Patanjali Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga also becomes a yajna, becomes an offering. The next one is Swadhyaya Yajnaha. Swadhyaya, see the Veda Adhyenam. Swadhyaya means memorizing all the mantras. Memorizing the textbook is called Swadhyaya. Memorizing and chanting, is it? Every day we have to chant the textbook mantras in order to memorize the mantras. So thus the textbook has to go into your mind first in memory, so that later on when the textbook is taken, then taken for the class will be taken, then later on the mantras will be explained and you can easily understand. I told you earlier in the class, those days in Vedic times, we didn't have printing press. We didn't have books, not even manuscripts. The whole teaching knowledge was no writing, no reading, nothing, isn't it? Everything was in the mind, knowledge was in the mind. Knowledge has to be communicated through words. You have to listen, and everything have to have the jnanam. The textbook also must be in the mind only. And the explanation later on also, understanding also has to happen only in the mind, which means only through communication. Therefore, the study was like this. Initially, you have to memorize all the mantras. The whole textbook should be memorized. It must be in your mind. Then later on, when the teacher will explain everything, the mantras, to know the meanings, and as he explains each mantra, you should be able to go to each mantra, turning the pages of the book. Where is the book? Turn the book in your mind. That is why we had that first Swadhyaya means Adhyayanam. Swadhyaya means learning to memorize all the mantras through chanting and reciting. Recitation and chanting is for memorizing the mantras. To get the book memorized first. Good, isn't it? That itself is a discipline. You know, don't think mechanical, you have to read it. It itself becomes a discipline. That is why even now people have very good memory because of that practice of memorizing. Okay, anyway, the Swadhyaya. Even that Swadhyaya will not be a mechanically memorizing the mantras. It becomes a yajna, an offering, isn't it? If you have the attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. So Swadhyaya, then Jnana Yajna, the last Jnana Yajna has come. This Jnana Yajna is first memorizing the mantras. Through learning to chant the mantras is Swadhyaya, which itself is a discipline and which is also yajna. Similarly, Jnana Yajna. And then the same way, later on, understanding the meanings of the mantras you have learned. It's not Paravidya, isn't it? Understanding the meaning of the mantras, of Karmakanda mantras. It's not Atma Jnana. It's nothing to do with Atma Jnanam here. Aparavidya. See, all other disciplines. So, first know the meaning, mantras, then understand the meanings of mantras. So, understand the textbook, memorizing the textbook first is called Swadhyaya. Later on, understanding the meaning of the, all that is there in the textbook is called Jnanam. Knowing the meaning is called Jnanam, understanding the text is called Swadhyayaha, and both become an offering, Yajnaha, if Bhagavan is brought in your life. Even a small discipline becomes a yajna. Is it clear now? The next one.
Apane juhvati pranam.
See, please remember, it may be little, you may feel little dull because of the Sanskrit words. I didn't take much time, mainly, please understand here, all these words have been already explained to you in our other classes. You know what is Swadhyayaha and what is knowing the meaning of the memorized mantras. This is called Jnanam, isn't it? So knowledge pertaining to other disciplines, other things also we have. This is Jnanam. Suppose even education, for when you are studying, even your study becomes what? That's called, we can say, take it as that way. These days, nowadays, you are given to, suppose whether you study physics or chemistry or biology, whatever you are given to study or you are given to teaching, and any discipline you are interested in, suppose music, dance, everything you can include here. Jnanam here means, suppose you are learning music. Learning music is a discipline. And learning dancing is a music discipline. So any discipline, if you have proper attitude, bring Ishvara into the picture, then involve Ishvara, then it becomes an offering to Bhagavan, it is a yajna. Nritya yajna, sangeeta yajna, you can call everything a yajna. What converts this simple thing in, it's just an art, an entertainment, entertaining art, becomes a yajna. If Purusharta Nischaya is there, if you bring in Ishvara, if you make it an offering, as an offering to Bhagavan. That is why even in dance, before you start the dance, you have to do namaskaram, no? Do namaskaram to Bhagavan and then you have to do it because it is, because what? Because it is an offering to Bhagavan. It's a, everything, if you have an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan, involve Ishvara there, it is a yajna. Otherwise, it's a mere exercise. And exercise will be binding action. And yajna will be liberating punya karma. It preparatory means, the preparatory discipline. That is the big difference, isn't it? So anything you do, suppose even you're sweeping your house, if you have Purusharta Nischaya and if you are very clearly living this life for Jnanam and Moksha and you have Sanctum Sanctorum, your puja room, your house becomes a temple. When you sweep, you're sweeping your own house becomes what? Yajna. Your cooking is yajna. Now you all can go for yajna of eating. And eating will be yajna, really. We're going to see that later on. Eating is yajna. Okay, go.